thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful. Welcome to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling-Reed, the parenting podcast which offers reassurance, confidence, and advice on how to feed your baby, toddler, and your whole family. Today, we're talking all things raising little foodies, covering the meaty subjects of giving your little ones food on a budget and what to do when your family is feeling the pinch, back to those joys of the fussy eating stage, and also how society has conditioned us all to demonise snacking and demonise ultra-processed foods for our kids. Today's guest is a great friend of mine and someone who has genuinely helped me throughout my entire career and my work to date. He kept the nation fit and healthy during COVID, and he is a beacon of positivity and passion. And on top of all of that, he is a wonderful role model for children and adults alike. I am very, very happy and very honoured to be joined by Mr. Joe Wicks. Joe, thank you so much for coming into the podcast today and coming into Little Dish headquarters.
You know, I'd always find time for you, Charlotte. You've helped me in so many ways. And I love that we've, you know, I've seen your journey, I've seen you grow, and I love that you've done so well. And also, you know, thank you so much again for that book, Wean in 15. You made that come to life. And I think all my kids are such great little eaters because of the advice you gave me. So thank you.
Oh, I really appreciate that. And to be honest, that's really why I wanted you on, because I know we've had so many discussions before about how much we care about healthy eating, about feeding kids, about good food. And I genuinely wanted you to come on to give your take on it all, because I think you're a real, you know, positive person and you look at things in such a positive way. And I've also followed your journey with your kids and I just love watching them. I love watching them with food, their cooking, everything that you show. So that's exactly why I wanted you on here, just to talk a little bit about that and try and give other people some positivity around feeding their kids and their families too.
Thank you. Well, I am so passionate about this. It's like something I care deeply about. And although my life's very different, you know, when I was a kid growing up on benefits in a council house with a father who was spending a lot of our money on drugs, we had really unhealthy food. It was like pretty much 99% ultra processed food. And it's important that people know that I've came through that. It's not like, you know, you're not doomed. You can overcome this. And I was a very fussy eater. But now as an adult, I love my food. And I'm still so connected to that mission of like trying to inspire parents and families to eat better. And it's really hard in, with people with, you know, financial restraints and budgets and stuff, like it's really hard. So I try and always show, you know, advice that is achievable, but also like realistic for people.
Yeah.
And that comes down to really thinking about what is truly budget food and how can we help people get better food on their tables.
Yeah, completely. Because I think it isn't as simple as sometimes it's made out to be to eat healthily. And I think you've got to have a lot of background and knowledge and awareness and experience and skills in order to be able to feed your family well. So you're so right. It isn't as simple as that. But yeah, the small, easy tips and hacks really help for sure. And I think you show quite a lot of that on your page.
Yeah, it's all about little changes. And if you're an adult that has quite a restrictive diet yourself, like if you know you're one of these people that repeats the same five meals all through the week, you know, it's quite often common that your child will also do the same. And so it's trying to constantly challenge that and open up your like your world a little bit with food and
your try repertoire food,
and try new things and be confident. It might be like, you know, following a blog or an Instagram account and getting a little bit of inspiration, because cooking does feel like this quite confusing, difficult, challenging thing. But actually, when you get some really easy recipes to follow, you build up your confidence and you start to, you know, change what's on your plate a little bit. And then therefore you open up your world and you start to get better nutrients in your diet. And then you're hopefully, the dream is that your children also see that.
Yeah.
And then they want to start trying new things too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, that is exactly what I love about watching you, because it does feel, it doesn't feel like unreachable. It feels like little things. Like I've loved seeing you cook with Indy, and it genuinely inspires me to be like, oh, I need to get my kids cooking more, because, you know, I don't have the kitchen layout for it. It's not as easy, but I'm so desperate to do a lot more of that myself. And I work in this field and, you know, my kids eat really good food all the time, but it's just, it's those little bits of inspiration that really help. So with your kids, what, how do you feel that have they each been different when it comes to food and weaning, or do you feel like they've actually all fit into a kind of similar mold?
I'll never forget when I started sharing, you know, the Wean in 15 stuff on my Instagram.
Yeah.
Parents would say, you wait till they're three, you wait till they're four, you know, my kid used to eat everything.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, I had this fear of like, oh, it's all just going to go wrong and they're just going to stop eating vegetables. But the truth is, all of my kids have had the same option, which is one meal, one option. Do you know what I mean?
So
it's not like I've done anything different. I've just been consistent with every single kid. And even to this day, you know, we cook together, not every day, but we cook together, we sit together and we eat together. And so it's like, there's no alternative. So in their mind, like, this is our family meal and we just sit together and eat. There's obviously certain things like over the years that they've really gone off like avocado and banana, certain textures and stuff. Like even Rosie won't eat bananas or mushrooms, right? So I don't force these foods on them. But in terms of trying new stuff, you know, I say, look, guys, this is our dinner. We're going to give it a go. We've got a risotto or a stir fry. And it's just being consistent. And I keep hearing over and over again, parents say to me, my kids just will only eat these certain foods. And I always ask the question is, well, how is your child dictating what you should be, you know? Because let's be honest, they're not doing the food shopping. They're not filling the cupboards. They're not cooking stir fries and curries. They're not cooking the food. And it's so hard because I'm really passionate about this, but I also know how triggering it can be. And you know this as well. Completely. If you upset this community, people really, really get upset. And I would never try to put content out that makes people feel like they're not doing a good job. But I also know that you have to be willing to try and be consistent. And there's going to be times they say, I'm not eating that, and they reject it. Of course, that's happened to me many times. But my answer is, okay, no worries. Go and play for an hour. Come back. I'm going to reheat the food up for you. And what happens? 9 times out of 10, a hungry kid will eat their food.
Yeah, I think the problem is that there's so many different things that impact their appetite, their willingness to eat. And I think we do often take what they say as just, no, I don't want that. A lot of parents think, okay, that means that they don't like it. They're not going to eat it. But actually, it's not. There's a massive load of reasons why right then, in that moment, they don't want to eat their food. It might be that they're distracted. It might be that they had something similar earlier. And they're not always brilliant at being able to articulate that. So they can't say to you, I don't want this right now because I had something really similar. I ate earlier. I'm not hungry. I just want to see, you know, my grandma's coming around. I want to see her. And they can't articulate all of that to you. So I think that parents often think, oh, they don't want it because they don't like it. And that's the assumption. But I completely agree with you. It's a very, very sensitive topic. And there's no one answer. But I think I love your message about the consistency, because it's what I say all the time. Being consistent, not forcing foods, but keeping on offering, because there's loads of times where kids are like, you know, my two haven't liked egg or avocado or, you know, fish always. But actually, I just consistently offer it all the time. And eventually they start to go, okay, maybe I do like it, you know?
100%. And, you know, there's definitely times when my kids have said, like, I'm not eating that, but I just, I don't turn around and make beans on toast and like, I just don't offer them alternatives. So they just know, this is what I'm going to be eating. And so I think it is consistency, and it's a simple message. I always remind myself, I'm the chef. I decide what my 6-year-old, 4-year-old, 2-year-old eats. Like they can't tell me what to eat. Do you know what I mean? And so I think it's just about being consistent, and they are going to push back and they are going to challenge you. And it comes down to time and convenience. But the reason I'm passionate about this is because you can help a fussy eater. You can turn things around. It's not like they're fixing that mindset forever. But you've got to be willing to get food rejected. Bit of crying. Probably some nights are going to go to bed without eating their dinner. And that's a really uncomfortable thing. People find it very uncomfortable imagining, well, I've just got to feed my kid. But if you do that and you always offer alternative, within 3 months, you've got a really restrictive fussy eater. Do you know what I mean? It happens so quick because they learn and they know, well, look, if I say no, mummy's going to pull out, you know, the whatever it may be as an alternative.
Something that they're comfortable with having regularly. Yeah, exactly.
And if you're not getting, if the kids aren't eating it at home, they're not going to eat it at school and not going to eat it when they're in restaurants. So I just had this, you know, from you as well, from what you used to say, like early on, you need to bring in flavour and spices and herb, because when you go to a restaurant, unless you're literally going to eat off every single children's menu in the restaurant world, like you want them to eat food that you're going to eat. And so, you know, we don't use children's menus. We just have the main menu and we share things together. And so if they're used to eating at home, they're going to eat it in restaurants because no one wants to waste money. No one wants to see food go to waste, but it starts from home. You know, it doesn't start at school and it doesn't start in restaurants. It starts from the food you put on the table at home, I think.
And we're keeping up that variety, completely. So can I ask you a question? How did your approach to food and nutrition, I mean, you obviously really care about food and nutrition. How did it change when you became a father, or did it change? Do you feel like you thought differently about mealtimes or food or nutrition or what you were putting in your body when you became a dad?
Well, I'm so grateful that I met you and that we crossed paths, because, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, Rosie, you know, breastfed and a bit of combination feeding with some formula stuff, and that was it. And up until that point, like, I don't know what I would have given my kids, but obviously I had you sort of coaching me, and had your amazing Instagram, which really helped with recipe ideas. And then I just had this mindset of, like, I just want to keep trying new things. And my kids will not eat boiled broccoli and cauliflower. But when I roast it or fry it in the oven, when I roast it in the oven with some spices and herbs, or I put it in a pan with some soy sauce, like, they will eat crunchy, crispy vegetables. And so it's like, they don't just dislike certain things, just the way you present it. And so you kept saying to me, Joe, multiple things, multiple times, and don't give up. And I've just applied that over and over again to all my children. And, you know, I'm still waiting for the day for them to just go, I'm not going to eat this, and reject everything. But it just didn't happen, because literally, like I said, it's just one meal, one option. And that's an old school approach to parenting, right? Because that's probably what it's like back in the day. It's like, we just have one meal. Yeah. But now with all the different varieties of food and obviously convenience food, you can give one kid this, one kid that, and then suddenly you're making three different things.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I love the way that you have your, you know, in terms of family meal times, you have meal times together, because that's something I bang on about a lot. Can you tell us a little bit about what your, you know, what your meal times are like in the Wicks family? Because I imagine they're a bit chaotic in terms of some people there, not there. How does it tend to go?
Yeah, well, obviously, I love coming together through food. Like, I'm a massive foodie. So whether it's in a restaurant or whether it's at home, I just like sitting down and putting a nice bit of music on and just sitting and enjoying food together. Lenny's obviously too. She's frying food all over the place.
Yeah.
And you know, Marley and India, kind of, they're, you know, they're just like, they're quite adventurous with their food, but only because I constantly give them new things.
Yeah.
I know it's not like, this is the thing, not every family can sit every single night and eat together seven nights a week. But even if you can on a weekend or one night a week where you sit and you eat, I think that you kept saying to me about role modeling, like they learn to hold a spoon and a knife and fork from watching you.
Completely.
They learn to eat because they see you eating certain things. And I think people underestimate how important that is as a part of the process, because if you just sit your baby in a high chair and give them, you know, spoon feed them or give them baby led weenie, it's like baby time and mummy and daddy eat later and it's like separate. I just think you've got to try and role model it at some point.
Because otherwise they don't really learn that food is important. I think that's the main thing I always try and say, is if your little one never sees you eat, they don't understand that that is important to do. You should be eating. I like food. I enjoy food. And they never see that. So I think that you guys eating together has probably had a massive impact on your kids being adventurous and enjoying their food themselves.
I think it's just like a case of, again, the kitchen stuff. I don't have them cooking with me every night of the week. But when they do, like, and you've tried something new and you've made something together, they're so much more receptive to trying it. Yeah. They really are. Like, it's like you're bringing them into the process and they like, what's this vegetable or what we're using? And my little girl Indy now, she's six, and she, you know, she can make an omelette, she can cook a steak because she's learned. And people are like, oh my God, you can't get her using a Japanese knife. But kids are so smart. They learn.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, if you sit with them and you put the time in, they become amazing. And she really loves her food. So I'm hoping that, you know, it's a habit she can form into her, you know, teenagers as well. But, you know, who knows?
It's experience for them. Like, that is such an important learning tool. I mean, you know, when I was at school, I genuinely remember during our cooking classes, we were taught to make a fruit salad and we made a cereal box. And that was our cookery. That was literally our cookery lessons. You just don't get taught that. So I don't know what cookery is like at school these days, but unless it's happening at home, it is going to be harder for kids to pick that up when they're older. And they are going to end up relying on foods that are more convenient because they're not going to have the skills. And I think that, again, that's what I love. You've inspired me to do a lot more of that at home with my kids. So
it's one of the most important life skills we can give our children. Yeah, apart from teaching them to fall in love with exercise or some form of movement and really understand the importance of movement for their mental health, cooking and teaching kids cook, because the world we live in now, like, it's so on the go, it's so quick, we're running out of time, we're working harder than ever, and, you know, it's very easy to be sedentary and very easy just to rely on convenience food. And there's a time and a place for it, right? And I'm not anti UPF. I still love my ice cream. I still eat out. I still love chocolate, you know, and we still have snacks. But I think going on to that word snacking, you know, this is a big thing, because so many parents, I think, are giving their children snacks all through the day. So when it comes to mealtime, they haven't really worked up an appetite. So again, get comfortable with saying you're not having a naked bar, you're not having an apple or banana right now. Like, I want you to have your dinner in an hour's time, and let your child really get an appetite. And when you stick a lasagna down in front of them or you stick a new veggie curry, they're going to be all over it because they genuinely are hungry.
Completely. Yeah. And I see that in my kids all the time as well. If they do snack, or if they've been out for the day, or if they've been at nursery, their appetite is much lower because they've grazed a lot more than they would. But if they haven't had space for that kind of, you know, extra snacks, then when they sit down for a meal, exactly the same. I'm like, they're going to devour a meal that I probably would be a bit hesitant about whether they're going to eat it or not if they're hungry, because hunger does have a massive impact, doesn't it?
Same with adults. Yeah. I mean, if we have a big banana or like a big, you know, bag of nuts or whatever before your dinner, you're not quite, you don't have the same appetite.
The drive to eat. I think that is important in kids.
Yeah, I think reducing snacking and trying to sit together as a family are two really important things for shifting yourself from being a fussy eater to being more adventurous and curious, I think.
And you're really honest about your love for things like chocolate and ice cream and marmalade, which I love all of those as well myself. But how, I think people would be really interested in your approach with those, with your kids. How do you approach them enjoying those foods, but perhaps not, you know, overindulging in them, what's your take on it? How do you deal with that? Because that's quite tricky. Yeah.
Look, my kids, like anyone, like, you know, even from birth, we're so predetermined to love sugar and sweet stuff. You might have seen the breast milk scandal the other week when I tried breast milk from Rose. Like, it's so sweet, right? And so is formula milk. It's so sweet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we're kind of programmed to like sweet things. And, you know, my kids go to parties and it's like literally, I mean, you know, you eat loads of sugar and cake and chocolate and you leave a goodie bag full of sweets. Like, and my, I let my kids go wild. You know, they do that. I'm not someone who's not letting them do that. But I don't want it in the house all the time because when it is there, I'm eating it and I want to treat my kids and it makes them happy. And the thing is, I feel like we've been convinced that the only way to show love and affection to your children sometimes by giving them treats because they love sugar. They nothing gets my kids more excited than anything sweet, from fruit to honey to granola to chocolate,
ice cream, exactly.
So it's kind of an act of love. It's like, I'm just, I love you and I want to make you feel good and you're smiling. Yeah. But then when you start to see how it affects their behavior, their, you know, their digestion, their gut, their mood, and you start to think, it's not, I'm not really treating you. If I am, it's like giving you a little bit rather than the whole bar, because I'm an all or nothing kind of person. I'll eat, like the other night I went to the shop and got a massive bar of Tony's Chocolone and I ate the whole bar. And I loved it at the time, but then I just felt terrible after. I was bloated, I felt rough. And you got to think, these little kids have such tiny little tummies. So I think it's about giving it to them in moderation. And I am being a lot more cautious and more aware of like just the things in the back of just reading the ingredient list on things, you know, even things from your, you know, your supermarket breads to like yogurts and things. So I'm like, well, yeah, I want to give you yogurt, but I'm going to try and get a healthy one. So like, I might just give them like a full fat Greek yogurt and stir in some jam or put a bit of honey in. Do you know what I mean? So I'm still giving them sweet things, but again, it's like, it's very easy to get so reliant on these things and treats and, you know, wrap, you know, packaged food and stuff. And I don't know, I'm just trying to focus on the meals really. If I can focus on three main meals, they're not really that snacky in between.
It sounds really similar to what we do, because I'm exactly the same. When we go out, I don't make a big deal of it, because as soon as you make a big deal of it, you're going to end up with them wanting that stuff more, because it's almost like it's more desirable if you're not allowed it. So I do the same. I've had people say to me at kids' parties, aren't you a nutritionist? And I'm like, yeah, I'm literally going to allow them to do whatever, because if I stop them right now, it's going to have a massive impact. But we just don't have that stuff at home a lot, because the same as you, I will eat it. And also, I don't want the kids to be relying on that daily and thinking that that is a normal, you know, the normal food. So everything is in moderation. We don't eat broccoli every day, so we wouldn't eat chocolate buttons every day. So we're exactly the same. We don't really have it much in the house, but when it is around, when other people are eating it, when we've got it, they absolutely can kind of help themselves. And I think people do struggle with that, but it sounds like it's really similar. And it's
It's just so hard to eat in moderation. If you're a kid, I remember the first time I gave Lenny chocolate, I was like, to see her eyes, like, and the way it affects her, like, she was screaming for more in seconds. Exactly. It was the first time she had chocolate.
Yeah.
And therefore, you can see, like, how these products and these food items are designed. They're so delicious. You want more and more, and the brain's asking for more. So I think, like I said, it's about balance. And if you cut them out completely, like you said, your kids are going to get obsessed with them, and they're going to probably turn out to, like, really crave and want them even more when they get a chance. But, you know, we are never going to live in a world without these sort of things. But I think think about, what am I putting in my basket? What am I putting in my shopping basket and my trolley? Because what I hear from a lot of parents, especially parents trying to lose weight, they say, well, you know, I'm trying to lose weight, but it's all the stuff for the kids. The kids have got to have it. You know, they need the crisps and they need their like tracker bars and their chocolate bar. And I'm like, why? Who's told you that? And it's marketing, right? Yeah. It's not because you're trying to give your kids unhealthy foods, because we've been convinced that we have to give our kids snacks all the time, and this is what goes in lunchboxes. And so, you know, it's complex, right? It's marketing, it's supermarkets, it's like product placement, it's TV adverts, it's YouTube kids advertising, it's everywhere. We're bombarded with messages. And so I think it's about, you know, having a bit of balance, and you know, when you're going out for the day, you know, try and maybe prep a nice little lunch. You can make healthy snacks as well on the go. It doesn't have to be packaged with, you know, 6 month shelf life.
I had my son came back from a football thing that he was at the other day, and he said, "Mom, can I have some normal food in my lunchbox?" He's like, "I always have the healthiest lunchbox ever." And it honestly absolutely killed me, because I was like, "What do you mean by normal food?" And he's like, "Well, you know, like crisps and yogurts." And I'm there thinking, oh God, I feel so bad.
It's sad that he thinks that, but that's true. He's seeing everyone else
because every single other person had a packet of crisps and you know, it really did make me feel sad. And he is such a good eater. He loves his food, and he will quite often choose, you know, the savory and the meals over like the puddings a lot of the time.
And it is normal, it's normal, but it's also right. It's normal and it's fine to give your kids that, but if you really think on a fundamental level, how does that affect your child's focus, their energy, their mood, their ability to sit still, their gut health? You know, it's just like they're not treat. They We're told they're treats, but you're really not treating your body with this stuff.
Yeah, completely. You know, like, and like you say, we're in charge ultimately of what they eat, because they can't really be in charge. They can decide how much they eat or something, but they can't be the dictators of what they eat all day, every day, because we all know what they would choose. Probably what we would choose if we, you know, didn't have any knowledge on the health and nutrition effect of food. So,
totally, yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
Small changes, I think, is the key. Like just little daily changes, and you can adapt things and change and little swaps here and there.
You're listening to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling Reed, sponsored by Little Dish.
The Motherkind podcast explores how to feel happier, more confident, and empowered in your motherhood, even in our world of pressure, judgment, and comparison. I'm your host, Zoe Blasky, and every week I speak to an incredible expert to share actionable steps and powerful lessons to living your life as a mother with more joy and unapologetic confidence. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, just search Motherkind.
I know this is kind of really similar, but what do you think is the biggest challenge that yourself or other families face when it comes to feeding kids healthy food and healthy meals? What do you think is the biggest challenge that parents are facing at the moment?
So the two biggest challenges are obviously time and money, right? Mm-hmm. Time in a sense that we are like more stressed and working harder than ever. Like parents don't have a lot of free time. You know, we're attached to our phones. We're emailing people. We're constantly we're switched on to like the work stuff. So, you know, it comes down to like, you know, every parent would love to put healthy food on the table every night, but you know, how many people truly cook 7 nights a week, you know, from scratch? You know, it's probably unlikely, you know, unless you really have a lot of time and you know, got a lot more help, but that is a big challenge. So I'm always trying to share things that can be cooked in batch, that can be shared, you know, that can be reheated for lunch, that can be put in a little thermos flask for a nursery and stuff. And it is the hardest thing because people have convinced themselves, well, I haven't got time. Mm-hmm. I've only got 5 minutes to throw it in the oven. I'll come back in an hour and it's done. So things like, you know, slow cookers. I'm not a fan of air fryers only because I've never used one. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people seem to be, you know, getting loving on those, quite well with them. But again, batch cook, make bolognese, curries, chilies, stir fries, risottos, pasta bakes. Like these are things that, you know, you can make for under fiver probably, and they're not all going to break the bank. But yeah, the second thing is obviously money, right? And like I said, my life is very different, you know. I didn't have the same access to food as I do now. Mm. Like I'm so blessed that I can afford organic chicken and I've got the option to put healthy food on the table, right? Mm. But it's not always realistic. And so I've speak to a lot of people that are on super low income families. And so I have to understand like, what's it really like to be truly on a budget when you've got two or three kids and you've got 30, 40, 50 quid a week, you know? Mm. And so it's about being realistic. You can't demonize bread and all these sort of processed foods because really, some people don't have access to these things.
Yeah,
and so
completely. It's
really about helping people feel like they're not failing and they're not damaging their children or themselves, but it's trying to convince them, well, you know what? Maybe if you bought like loads of chili and loads of beans and some herbs and some frozen veg, you can make a really great sort of veggie bolognese or something, or a veggie chili. And people just have to start in the kitchen and start cooking and to realize actually, you know, I can make a different choice and I can make a small change today. And that's really where I come from. You've got to be compassionate, Charlotte, because, you know, and you know, when you've got deals with supermarkets or you've got access to like, you know, Gusto meals, all these things that we take for granted, so many families are so skint. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, completely.
And they're in food banks, people that have lost their jobs. And so I think you've got to be so sensitive to the cost and the time.
Yeah.
And if you can work on those two things, then you can make a change, I think.
Mm. And I think you're so right about a lot of those foods that are demonized are foods that actually are providing a large proportion of what families on a budget are eating. So like breads and cereals, for example, they are massively demonized, but actually it isn't just about those individual foods. Like it is about variety, but it's also about what you add to it. So for example, take something like, you know, toast, and then you do make like a little chili and then you add the chili to the top. That can actually be a really low budget meal, but you're still using the bread and your staples. So it drives me mad with all the demonizing food, because I just feel like, yeah, some families are going to absolutely be relying on that. And you telling them that that's bad is really not helpful. But actually, what can we add into people's diet? We're always talking about you shouldn't eat this and should cut this out. But there's so much more you can do with helping people to enjoy other food. And like we talk about variety all the time, but if you're eating bread every day, three times a day, then yeah, of course, that's a problem. But if you have bread a few times a week, that isn't a problem, you know? So
I think there's so many big headlines and it's just like, it's sort of, you panic and sort of think, well, what is healthy? I mean, you hear stories about raspberries with this and strawberries got these chemicals and you can't eat this and that. And it's like, what can I eat? Let me just have, and let me drink my water, please. Let me drink my tap water, man. Like,
exactly.
Nothing seems to be pure anymore.
That gets problems as well, apparently.
Yeah, and so I think it's really about, those small changes. And like you said, try different things. Like a cauliflower is pretty boring on its own, but I put some like paprika and Cajun and olive oil and I roasted it for an hour the other day and it was amazing. And the kids just yammed on it. Like it was like crunchy crisps almost, There's ways
exactly.
You don't have to just eat your standard like boiled veg. I mean, it doesn't taste good. So try new things, add some spices and herbs and get your children to be curious about things, because then when you go to a restaurant and you know what? I don't have to eat from the kids' menu because I'm going to try this bolognese or this, this veggie curry. I keep saying curries, but I'm just thinking of things of flavour. And trying different things, and then it'll be way more, you're going to be more likely to give it a go and spend a fiver on that meal as opposed to just getting the chicken nuggets and chips, which they're going to eat. Mm-hmm. But look, kids are very annoying and they will always push back.
Yeah.
But you have to remember you're the boss and you care about them and you love them and you want to give them a chance to put healthy food in their body. Mm-hmm. And it really is, it's hard to admit that, it's hard to take ownership and it's hard to take responsibility, but we have to, because if we don't do it, who's going to do it for them?
Completely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, completely. And on that note, what do you think? So more of a kind of level, maybe like your experience with your kids, what do you think are some of the key ingredients to helping kids love food? We've kind of alluded to it the whole time, but if you were sat down and I said, what are the key ingredients to help raise kids who love food? What would you say?
Okay, well, these are things I've repeated of all my kids. And I think it's simple things. First one is, variety of foods, right? Try not to get stuck on the same things all the time, the same veg, the same sort of flavors, the same, typical, plain like pasta with butter and pasta with cheese. I've got a story though. I need to know about this, because I grew up on ultra processed foods. And the only thing my mum would cook was basically she'd make pasta. Mm. She'd pour in Dolmio tomato sauce and that was it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? We never had vegetables in it. And so, and I was a really fussy eater, but just chucking in a little bit of, roasted veg or some peas or whatever, it might have just made a little bit of a difference. So you haven't got to revolutionise what you're eating, but just add a little bit into it. Mm. So variety, offering things over and over again. And just because your kid says no and throws a bit of broccoli on the floor today doesn't mean he won't eat it tomorrow or the next day. So try and be consistent. Don't give up on a food group because they threw it away when they say, I don't like that, daddy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Second thing I think is trying to, if you can, sit and just think about trying to, where you can, eat a meal together. Mm-hmm. You slow down, you bond, you connect. It's an emotional thing. You're not rushing around. It's like a nice moment to connect, because we're not connecting with our kids enough. We're just really not. And they role model, they see you for the way you eat, the things you eat, and the way it makes you feel. So sit together and enjoy food. Third thing I would say is get them cooking. I know this is annoying. They're very, when they're hungry as well, they're like super annoying, right? So trying to get them in the kitchen and don't let them snack, don't give them the snacks when you cook them. We'll just say, right, we're going to cook something together.
Yeah.
And even if they just, I started with things like, stirring your berries or your porridge, sprinkle on some flax seeds or crack an egg, and they make mess and they're very they're very chaotic, but then it comes to a point where, well, you sit together with the food you've created and I promise you, they'll be more likely to try it. They will. They'll be more likely to give it a go. Even if they don't eat the whole thing, they're going to and really celebrate. Like if my kids try something new and they don't like, I say, oh, look, I'm really glad you tried it. I respect that you had a go, and maybe next time I'll try it in a different way. Mm. Celebrate these things. And the final thing and the most important one of all is remember that you are the chef. Mm-hmm. Like honestly, your two-year-old can't just turn around to you and say, I don't eat these foods anymore. Mm. I only eat these foods. Mm. And again, we need to caveat that with certain children that might have, extreme autism will be on the spectrum. Or is it ARFID? Is that how you
ARFID, the acronym,
which is food aversions. That's a very different case. So I'm talking much more generic here. Yeah,
completely.
But it's allowing yourself to actually keep trying, don't give up, and be consistent, because like anyone, they will learn that you offer an alternative really, really quickly. Mm. Because no one wants to send their kid to bed without eating.
Yeah.
It's not a nice feeling, right? But also don't put pressure on the kids to eat everything, because they know their appetite. Mm. And a hungry child will eat, right? So I don't think you should be given a massive portion and expect to eat everything. Mm. If they only eat a little bit, 10% of it, 20%, it's fine. Yeah. Because in the morning, they're going to wake up with an appetite and they're going to have a big breakfast.
Yeah. I think that pressure, the pressure on meals, I mean, there's so much research on this now, but, you know, if you put pressure on them to eat up, it actually has the complete opposite effect. And so that's one of the things I try and get across to parents all the time, is that reducing that pressure. But do you ever have mealtimes that do go completely wrong? Have you got any examples of where you've been, I don't know, eating out or eating at home and the kids haven't eaten it, or it's been a nightmare? Like, have you got, you know, does that happen as well in your house? Because I'm sure families will love to hear about some of the chaos.
Obviously, you see what I share because it goes on social media, but, you know, sometimes I'll make things that don't, like, taste great or, like, you know, a bit burnt, but they've never really, like, they've never all looked at me and gone, I'm not eating this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because if they do that, then, well, that's it. There's no other dinner, guys. Like, that's dinner. Do you know what I mean?
So,
but I'm trying to think, like I said, certain things they've gone off. Like, Indy used to love bananas. She won't eat bananas. You know, and then if Marley's now saying he won't eat peas and tomatoes because he heard Indy say it.
Okay.
And I'm just like, why are you saying it? Because he listened and he copies you. And he'll be flicking the peas off. But again, I don't get like too worked up at it because I know that he eats loads of other veg. But again, I try to just cook things that I know, you know, they're going to like the flavour of, you know, I won't put too much chilli in, and, you know, think they like things with cheese on and things with like, you know, pesto and harissa and curry paste and things.
So cooking meals with them in mind, but still ensuring there's variety and you're doing different things and trying new foods.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of like trying. I mean, there are different things we repeat, like over, like for breakfast, like it's mainly porridge or it's like omelets and things, you know, but then I might put like a bit of pesto in their omelet or, you know, put some paprika. But you, to be honest, you got me doing that early on because I think most parents will give their kids, you know, the puree stuff, like, for months and months and months, but have it quite bland. I was putting cumin, cinnamon, paprika, cayenne pepper, like, into their, like, veg really early on, within, like, you know, probably at 6 or 7 months, or straight into the weaning process. And so suddenly, and even now, like, Lenny, she's a joker, Lenny loves ginger shots. You know those Muji ginger shots? She smashes ginger shots, and I'm like,
oh, my God, I love them. They're so strong, aren't
and
they?
She loves, you know, she loves chili and stuff. And so every child's different, but
completely.
I think variety and flavour is really important because when you're doing it at restaurants, you know, and you want, if you want your kids to eat these things you're going to have on the menu and share a main meal, like, they need to eat at home, don't they?
And it's, again, it's more what you're adding in, you know, it's what you're adding in. So you're adding all the flavours. And the same, I'm always really surprised by a lot of parents who don't really think about adding anything other to porridge other than just porridge. Whereas I know you do the same, but, you know, we make so much of our porridge. It's always got fruit and peanut butter and chia seeds and other bits stirred in. And you can do that with, you know, frozen fruit and tinned fruit, and you can make it really easily. But I'm always really surprised that parents are often surprised at the idea of, I didn't even think about that, because I guess the idea of porridge is just plain porridge, and that's what often people give to kids. And I also think people often think that kids ought to have plain food, like, they don't expect that kids should have variety and flavors and taste and try ginger and chili. And yeah, I think we're trying to change the mold a little bit with that, and I love that.
Well, I mean, almost everyone I know all struggle with their, like, you know, everyone I know with kids struggle with their kids in terms of eating. And I think, you know, I look at my kids and I think, why do they all eat the same? It's just because I've just been so unbelievable. It's like I'm my exercise, you know, and my own nutrition. It's like, that's it. And I think if you stick to your guns and you stand your ground a little bit, you know, you can win them over. You can get them eating a bit more and you can, but, you know, it's hard because you leave the house with no food. What are your options? You know, you go to the farm or the zoo or the soft play. What are your options? You know, it's the same stuff being fed every single place you go. And it's hard because it's the things that you know your kids are going to eat, and it's cheap to buy as well.
And I think, you know, two of the messages that I've got a lot from you is, and I say them all the time, but persistence. So carrying on, and then consistency. So same thing all the time. And I think if you can nail those two things, it does make a really big difference when it comes to feeding kids. So last question I've got for you. What is one piece, just one piece of advice you would give to families who are struggling to feed their family or who want to feed their kids healthy food?
Just know that you're not failing. You're not, like, you know, you're not doing anything wrong. Like, kids will push the boundaries, and they will try their luck with everything. And, you know that even if you have a very, very fussy eater, like, I was a really fussy eater. I had a really unhealthy start in life. You know, I'm still fit and healthy. I think you can overcome it. So don't think that your child is fixed in this mindset forever, because honestly, I will eat anything now. And I was so fussy. And again, just keep thinking of that thing, you know, when I'm about to give my child some food, is it going to energize them, help them feel good? Is it going to give them, you know, a good tummy? Or, you know, is it going to make them climb the walls? You know, because I think food really affects our behavior and our energy. Like, it really does. And so think about that and start to challenge, you know, what is a treat and what is good for your kids. And just know that even if you make the smallest of changes today, it will open up your child's world to different foods. And, and you can really, you can make progress. It might seem difficult, and there's been a lot of food thrown back at you, and it's quite emotional, but take the pressure off yourself and the stress off the child, and just like, just enjoy the journey, because it is, it's a wild ride, and kids are so, you know, and I'm, look, it's all easy now. My kids are 5, 6 or whatever. Yeah. When they're like 11, 12, 14, 15, got their own pocket money. I know what's going to happen. I know they're going to be eating, like, and you can't stop that, right? But I think if you can get healthy habits into them at a young age, I think you're off to a better chance.
Definitely.
Maybe
in the long run. When the kids are 11 and 12, we should come back and do it again. Just see what we say.
Of course,
then.
When they've got pocket money, they can go across any fast food chain and, you know, what they fill in their pockets up, and even at school, what they eat in school.
And
right?
the outside influence of friends is going to be far higher, I think, as well. But, you know, I always say what they learn at home is what is inbuilt quite a lot, and they will probably pick up on that when they're older. So, you know, they definitely don't lose hope at any point.
How are you doing with your kids? Like, because obviously you've been through the whole process and you share it so publicly. Like, do your kids struggle too? Do you ever struggle and go, all right, and just give in, or are you still quite consistent with
it? I mean, Ada has thrown every single challenge at me that you could possibly have, including food. She's always a much more of a grazer, in the sense that she doesn't eat big meals. Like, Rafi is huge meals, and you can top everything into those. Ada didn't have breakfast for like 3 years. She just wouldn't eat it. Put it in front of her every day. That's okay. You don't have to eat it. She wouldn't eat it. So she's been the real challenge with that, but also really fussy with things. So she didn't like egg, and egg is an absolute staple for us, and my son eats it loads. Porridge, would not eat porridge, wouldn't eat avocado, wouldn't eat banana. You know, she'd eat a lot, but there were certain things she was so fussy about. And some of those were ones that are a real staple to our home. So, but I did exactly what you said, if I'm honest. I carried on. I was consistent. I was persistent. I didn't give up. Like, Rafi loves porridge. So I was like, I'm not going to not give porridge. Like, we're going to have porridge, and you can have it as often as he normally has it. And now she eats it. She doesn't eat loads. I go in with really small portions with her, because she's a micro eater, but she now eats it, and she didn't before. But there's certain things she loves. Like, she absolutely loves peanut butter. She would live on it. She absolutely loves ice cream. She's much more wild for ice cream than Rafi is. Loves broccoli, will eat broccoli. So she has a really well-rounded food, but I think I always gave a variety. If I hadn't, she would be eating very few foods right now. And I didn't ever give up. I carried on always offering those foods, the avocados, the bananas, the egg, the porridge, eats all of them now. All of them. But that's like 4 years later, you know. So
it's mad how this is an example, right, of how different kids can be. Like, same upbringing, same home life, but yet they're just truly so averse to certain foods. And and in some cases, like you said, there's nothing you can do with certain ingredients, I think. But again, you've stuck with it, and now, you know, you've given her a chance to actually.
And she does love food. She's a real foodie. She loves food, but just in a very different way to Raf. And it took longer. It took more exposure and experience. Whereas he was like, from the beginning, he was like, give me that food. I love it. Whereas she was the same with breastfeeding as well. She was, give or take, didn't really care about it. So they're just different personalities. And I think it's really important. I do try and show that a lot, because I know a lot of parents will be like, you know, they might not have given that avocado again, or that porridge again, or the egg again. And again, with eggs, she just never would eat it. And now she only, again, a tiny amount of scrambled egg, but she will eat it. Rafi loves, his favourite breakfast is a bagel with peanut butter on one, Marmite on the other, and scrambled egg in the middle. And he will literally like sandwich mine. You should try it, because it's his absolute favourite.
I get through tubs of peanut butter, like, you wouldn't believe it, almond butter as well.
Same, those giant
tubs. That's an expensive habit. Yeah. Almond butter and peanut butter is so expensive.
Oh God, yeah. My kids absolutely love it. And they will, now that they're a bit older, they will just like spoons of peanut butter. They absolutely adore it, so...
Oh, well, look,
thank you, Joe.
Thanks for having me on your podcast. And again, all your help. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm so confident, because I've been through it three times and one more time.
Nearly,
Because of the voice in my head from you, like, just keep saying. And I've just been so consistent with it. And and I'm so proud that my kids eat the way they do. And, you know, we eat in restaurants and they love it. They eat sushi and whatnot. And I just think I'm glad that I had you. Because maybe if I didn't meet you along that journey, I would have struggled with it too. But.
Well, it would have just been a completely different journey, I guess, for you. Because I think a lot of people do start weaning with, you know, sweeter foods, because that is what kids are predisposed to like. So it makes sense to offer them those foods. But actually, if you do that, it's much harder to get them to accept savoury and the variety. And like you said, with the herbs and spices and not including that, a lot of people do wean babies on more plain food. And if you do that, it might be harder to get them to accept those flavours later. So it could have been a different journey. But yeah, I'm so glad. And I love what you share, because it is very positive. positive, and I love seeing how well your kids eat. It makes me very happy.
Thank you. Well, it's all down to you. Thank you. Appreciate all your help. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much. Before you go, just got a very quick fire round.
Yeah.
Do you reckon you're up for it?
Yeah, go on. How many we got?
Okay, four okay. Quick questions. Okay, so what's your go-to quick meal when everyone is hungry?
Chicken stir fry with noodles and some sweet chili sauce.
Okay, boom. What's your number one food message you want your kids to know?
Be adventurous, enjoy your food, and keep trying new things.
Love it. If you could eat just one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Burgers. Good burgers, yeah.
And any family memories around food that have made you really, really proud?
Made me proud.
Like just an example, I always remember my son when we were on holiday, he was probably about 18 months and he was eating a bowl of ice cream, but he was literally using broccoli as a scooper to eat it. That always makes me so proud because I think like his love of food is, there's no hierarchy for him.
Yeah, I love that.
And the other thing is my family are real, my parents are real big dinner party parents. And I always remember in the summer, both kids sitting at the table with only adults, massive table, eating quiches and salads and just being part of that mealtime environment. Like it just made me so happy. So those are two examples of mine.
Well then, yeah, my proudest thing is knowing that I can go into any restaurant anywhere in the world with them and I can sit down and order off the main menu and they'll eat with us.
Love
you
that.
Know, from like wherever from Indian to Asian to Japanese. Yeah. And I like that they'll just be, they'll try something new, which is positive, I think.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Joe. Honestly, I'm so honoured to have had you on. I'm really grateful to you because you've done a huge amount for me throughout my career and I wouldn't be here today without you.
No, well,
so
thank you. I've loved seeing your journey. Keep doing the good work because you spend such an important message and I share the same love for it.
Oh,
I've just gone quiet on the Weaning 15 Instagram, but I still am very passionate about trying to get families eating better. It's a really beautiful thing to do, so keep it up.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you. Next time, I'm going to be sharing my top tips and expert advice when it comes to feeding the family a healthy and balanced diet. All of the do's, all of the don'ts, and what the current advice is at the moment, as well as everything else in between. I really, really hope you can join us. So hit subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. Thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful.